Sears is not dead, but it's not looking well. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Sears, which is also Kmart, filed for bankruptcy protection today after a last-ditch overhaul plan came to naught. 46 stores were already going to close. About another 150 will now close, but that still leaves about 500 open if suppliers worried about getting paid choose to keep the merchandise flowing. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. He told me the trouble at Sears does predate its controversial investor CEO, Eddie Lampert.
You know, Sears was in trouble before he got there. His contribution was to make it a lot worse. He thought like an investor. He thought in terms of dollars and cents. He didn't think like a retailer. He didn't keep the stores exciting. He kind of pinched pennies, and that hurt them.
And Sears was known for these very strong brands and somehow let those get away from it. I mean, remember paint was weather beater, certainly the appliances.
Yeah, Kenmore, Craftsman, Die Hard. They didn't keep up with the times. You know, we buy tools at Home Depot. We buy appliances at Best Buy. Sears really lost that big brand name franchise.
What do you think, Eric? I mean, people are writing obituaries here today for the company, yet hundreds of stores will stay open. At least that's the plan now.
You know, that's the plan, and it'll be interesting to see if they can make it, because Sears' big problem wasn't just that it had a lot of debt that you can get rid of in bankruptcy, or that it had a lot of bad stores that you can get rid of in bankruptcy. Its problem was it just wasn't attracting very many customers, and it's hard to see how going through bankruptcy is going to change that.
But even with this reorganization, this bankruptcy filing, there are people losing out here.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of workers are going to lose their jobs. Investors will lose money. Lenders to Sears will lose money. Lampert himself will lose some money. But he's a billionaire, so we don't worry too much about him. And he's already moved some of the Sears assets out into his hedge fund. But if you have fond memories of Sears, you'll get to keep them.
Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Checking early trading for stocks the week after the time that volatility showed back up with a vengeance. That was last week. The Dow at the moment is up 7 little points. The S&P 500 is down 0.3%. The NASDAQ is down 0.7%. From markets to the economy. Today, some info about we, the consumer. Economist Julia Coronado is at Macro Policy Perspectives. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So we did get retail sales today, covers last month. It certainly was weaker than expected, up 0.1% instead of 0.6.
That's true. The headline number was on the weak side, but we economists dig down into something called core retail sales, which takes out auto sales and gasoline. It's more representative of discretionary consumer spending, and that was just fine.
All right. So exuberant enough to do that kind of spending. Do you think last week on the stock market, the volatility will have any lasting effect?
Well, we're going to have to see. The consumer is facing a lot of cross currents going into the holiday shopping season. You've got higher gasoline prices and some political risk to that right now. You've got the possibility of higher prices from tariffs. And if stock market volatility continues, that can rattle consumers' confidence as well. On the other hand, the job market is very strong and we're finally starting to see some wage growth. That's definitely a good tailwind going into the last quarter of the year.
You mentioned political risk and oil prices. You're talking about the discussion of possible economic sanctions that might be directed at Saudi Arabia, given the situation with the journalist who disappeared in Turkey.
That's right. And we're seeing a little bit of a reaction in oil markets this morning. It's not that big, but over the last couple of months, a variety of political risks from Iran to Venezuela to Saudi Arabia, they've all contributed to a rising trend in oil prices that's going to be at least a minor tax on consumers.
Julia Coronado, an economist, is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you. Today's the deadline for political campaigns and their surrogate groups to report quarterly fundraising and spending numbers. This midterm cycle is a record breaker, especially Democrats in House races. For instance, Danny O'Connor running in Ohio raised $6 million last quarter. Mikey Sherrill, a Democrat running in a red-leaning district in New Jersey, raised $2.7 million. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
It's hard to pin down just how many people make political donations. Polls from the Pew Research Center found about 12% of U.S. adults did in 2016. Kelly Dittmar at Rutgers says even fewer people tend to donate in a midterm election, and
donors have been primarily wealthy, more upper class, even upper middle class, and dominated as well by men.
Men were 70% of donors and gave more than 70% of the money in the last midterm, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. This year,
donations coming from women have more than doubled this cycle.
Sarah Briner is research director for the center. More than double is still only about 0.2% of women donating more than $200. But, says Briner,
I think that the donations from women are outpacing what you would expect based on spending in the cycle.
And more of that money than ever, she says, is going to women candidates. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And back to Sears bankruptcy filing. We've also been hearing your Sears stories today. Two different listeners apparently owe their existence to Sears. In each case, their parents met at the store. Anthony tweeted his dad was in the Air Force and really connected with the nice woman who helped sign him up for a Sears credit card. They eloped a few weeks later. A credit card that both charged interest but provided dividends, if you ask me. You can send your Sears stories to talktous@marketplace.org. It's an email address. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.